I've said this I don't know how many times. You open something in Scripture and it comes out in... Well, it's like striking the rock and the whale coming out. You know, a lot of times we'll sit and we sing Mayim, Mayim, and it's like sitting here going... You can imagine, if you're not singing Hebrew, you're going, water, 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 water. Right? And you can skip that and go... And I know in sign language sometimes it's like, okay, water, 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 water. But the meaning is what's significant. I want you to imagine the reality that you live out in the wilderness and water is a major sign and miracle of life. And you're sitting there and you walk in the middle of there and there's a rock and someone strikes it and you just keep going, water, 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 water. That's the point of that song. Is that this well of water has come up and we just keep watching it going by, going, where in the world did all this come from? The Scriptures are the same. When we open them, sometimes they just come out with such force it backs you up a second. Pushing with such force, you sit back and go, oh my goodness. And you know that there's like, I've been going through, well, this is number one, number two, number three. Well, today's teaching stems off of last week, and I already have one for the next time, and maybe the time after, all in this content. Going back to covenant and circumcision. So, I have it titled, Children of Abraham, the Sons of Elohim. Now, I want to review from last week, because of course anyone is not here going, I have no idea what he's talking about. But I think it's also good to refresh it for those who were here. So we talked about last week this idea of covenant, which goes to brit or breath. Now, it's defined as a covenant, a pledge, an agreement, a treaty, an alliance, to be in league with one another. It comes from a base word, or a root word meaning bara, and it means to cut out, to cut off, to eat, to consume, to choose. We talked a lot about that last week, meaning the entire Torah portion last week was in regard to Avram. Abram was cut off your family and your traditions and your ways. Now I need you to cut off from Lot and you need to go forward. And now you're going to cut off from Ishmael and go forward. And now there's Isaac. Yahweh does the same with us, right? We continue in this journey. Yahweh goes, oh, there's still a little more piece of you that, you know, I want that piece. So can you cut that off and give that to me? And that sign of the cutting, separating ourselves, is really the sign of the covenant. It means we're willing to change, to be like Him. So I'm going to go back to Genesis 17, 1 through 2. And Abram was 99 years old. Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Elohim Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will multiply, and will multiply you exceedingly. Notice this is what Yahweh says, I'm going to do this. Verses 3 through 5. Then Abram fell on his face. Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And this is what he's going to make happen. And you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your identity or name or authority be called Abram, exalted father, but your authority, your name, shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations, many goyim. Genesis 17, 6 through 8. Now, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I can't get to that today. Did you know... And you can get ahead of me if you want. I'll give you a head start for next time. Did you know that a fruit tree for the first 3 years is considered uncircumcised? And the fourth year, it's considered holy to Yahweh and you can't partake of it till the fifth year? And so there's something about these fruit trees and becoming exceedingly fruitful in regard to circumcision that Yahweh wants to reveal to us, but I don't have time to get to that today. And I will make nations of you, and the kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for a everlasting covenant to be Elohim to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. So all this is what Yahweh says, I'm going to do this for you. And it's an everlasting covenant. Why? Because Yahweh is everlasting. And he's going to keep it. That's his deal. Verse 9 and 10. And Elohim said to Abraham, father of many nations, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you, and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. He didn't say if or maybe. Our end of the bargain is that every male shall be circumcised. And this is a sign of the covenant, which is quite interesting. The cutting represents the cutting. Okay? 11 and 12. And you shall be circumcised, clipped, separated, in the flesh of your foreskins. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house, and he who is bought with your money, must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child, who is not circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin, that person shall be what? Cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. So if you didn't cut off from them, I cut you off. Now, I talked about how the circumcision, it was important that it's put on the eighth day, and there are a lot of reasons for that. But eight in Hebrew comes back to the idea of resurrection. It's the ending of the cycle. The entire earth was created in how many days? Seven. At the end of every 7 day, guess what? Do we go on to the eighth day? No. The minute that sun goes down, it's now day one all over again. Right? The same feeling. You just wash the dishes and you walk back after the meal and go, oh man. They're there starting for me, ready to start all over again. Same thing with laundry, right? You feel like you just finished and what's happened? Right there, you're starting over. But the eighth day means that the 7 day cycle has been cut. We're done with the 7 day cycle. Now we're going into an eighth day, and this eighth day doesn't have an end. We have not seen the end of this eighth day. We haven't even found the eighth day yet. That's significant. We're going to get to that later. Key points, real quick. He said, walk before me and be perfect. That would mean be complete. The only way we can be made complete is with him. Right? Because here's the reality. He made us. So the shape of his hands, the form that he formed us with, we only feel comfortable and complete with his hands on us, changing us. There are certain indentions in the reality of how Yahweh touched us. We only feel complete because his hands are the only one thing that fits in our soul. The covenant, well, that equaled the end of the exalted Father and the birth of the Father of many nations. Ended one, birth of another. Yahweh made fruitful. Again, I put it there. I wasn't sure I'd get to it. We're not getting to it today. but something you can pursue. Everlasting covenant. And that main thing of that is Yahweh will be their Elohim. No other one. He will be their Elohim. The sons of Abram, the sons of Abraham will have one Elohim, and that will be Yahweh. Every male must be circumcised after the eighth day, whether born or bought. And that means, you know what? Whether you are born or whether you're an actual stranger that's being grafted in, doesn't matter. We all get the sign of the covenant. We're all being brought in. He can't be the father of many nations if it's only one nation. One genetic line. And if you're not circumcised, and I think Yahweh's making a joke, you're cut off. If you're not willing to make the cut, then He will make the cut for you. And we'll get to that actually later too, because that goes back to the fruit tree. All right, so simple. Covenant equals Yahweh's or Elohim. Covenant equals every male must be circumcised. Not circumcised equals cut off. But I want to look at Acts 15 under this microscope. Because it seems, in a first reading through Acts 15, that we're getting a different picture. Because the Torah is very specific. If you're not circumcised, you're cut off. And this is the everlasting covenant. Acts 15, 1 through 2. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Shaul and Barnabas, who had no small dissension dispute with them, they determined that Shaul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Now, basic summation, guess what? A bunch of these Pharisees, we don't know that they're specifically Messianic, go down and they say, unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved. Now, the scary part of this is this actually for the Gentiles at this time, which believe that my works create my salvation. Remember back then, when you go into a temple of another god, you had to start off by waking him up. Because he might be sleeping. You had to go through and come up with, well, how am I going to give him praise? What am I going to give to him? And sometimes you were giving him blood, sometimes you were giving him this, whatever. It was all up to you to earn that salvation with this God. To that, these Pharisees show up and go, hey, cut yourself off. The whole relationship's taken care of. And what Shaul realizes is that they're seeing in their mind, well, hey, man, this is easy. All I got to do is get circumcised, and then my relationship with God and heaven are taken care of forever. I can earn salvation. Acts 15, 3 through 4. So being sent on their way by the congregation, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and it caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the congregation and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that Elohim had done with them. Man, you should see all the incredible miracles He's doing among the nations. It's incredible. Verse 5 and 6. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, these are Messianic Pharisees, rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. Now, these are Messianic Pharisees. Now I will tell you, one of the things we have to consider is that, notice that the Talmudim, the students at this point, don't go, oh, you know what? The Pharisees have made a decision. We have to do it. Because there are certain parts of Messianic Judaism that say we have to follow the Pharisees. Notice that neither James nor Paul do. And these are Messianic Pharisees. They must. Verse 7 and 9. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago Elohim chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word and the gospel, the good news, and believe. So Elohim, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Now, notice he's making a point that this entire discussion and focus needs not to be about specifically male organs. We need to be focusing on the heart. And that, by the way, his heart had to be purified, and their heart had to be purified. This is not one or the other. Acts 15:13-14. "And after they become silent, James answered, said, 'Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon, Peter, has declared how Elohim at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name.'" Now, isn't that an interesting phrase? It says that Elohim at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Do you realize what James is saying? He's saying that, you know what? We're sitting here worried about the Gentiles. Don't you realize Yahweh has been bringing the Gentiles into this faith since the very beginning? We are children of Elohim only because a Gentile was brought out first. Not second, not last, and not third. Significant words. 19 and 21. "Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those among the Gentiles who are turning to Elohim, that we should write to them, 'Abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood.' For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in synagogues every Shabbat." Simple point. We make this point a lot. By the way, this last verse quite often is left out when this is taught in most churches. Notice the point of James is that they're going to be going into synagogues every Sabbath to learn about Moses. That's their point. So why are we going to try and force them to obey now? They're going to learn. We need to give them time. We are not Elohim. And we need to trust Elohim that he is going to guide them, because we can't sit here and walk each one of them to him. Nor do we want to. Because then it's us and them and not them and Yahweh. All right, so first question. How can we be saved and Yahweh's children without being circumcised? Because it seems pretty clear from Genesis 17. Come back to Exodus 12:48-49. "And when a stranger dwells with you, and he wants to keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be the native born, and for the stranger who dwells among you." He's basically saying, guess what? There's going to be one law for all the sons of Abraham. One law, one teaching. Not different. And again, I want you to realize there are messianic movements out there today that treat Gentiles different than native born. And I think that's sad. I think it's sad that in an organization of Messiah, where he was focused on oneness, you have Gentiles that cannot be full members in that organization. Or they don't have to keep all the laws of Torah. They only have to keep these few. Seems pretty clear there should be one law for all of Abram's children. And again, Abram was not Jewish. He was not. Now, I do want to make a point. Once that person becomes circumcised, you are to consider him as native of the land, like he was born there. Not to be considered, well, he's a stranger still. No, no, no. In fact, there's a good chance that when we read about Ruth coming into the land, right, and they continue to call her a Moabite, they could actually be breaking a command in that regard because they're continuing to consider her. Now, yes, she's not circumcised, but she said, your God is my God. Your people are my people. She cut herself off from her family, from her father's house, and from her town. She is no longer a Moabite. Okay. So what about Abram? That's the big question. Well, Yahweh said he was Abram's shield and an inheritance. An inheritance is passed from generation to generation. Guess what? The great inheritance we get is the covenant. Because that covenant means that Yahweh is our Elohim. Abram was given a promise that his children would be like the stars. Abram was given righteousness for his belief. He was given a covenant with Elohim that he would save his children from slavery and lead them to his land. And all of this happened before he was circumcised. Or was it? What's going on? There's a clue in Abram changing to Abraham. There's a major clue in regard that he was exalted father, and now he is becoming father of many nations. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yahweh your Elohim require of you? But to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments that Yahweh and his statutes were to command you today. For why? For your good. 10, 14, and 15. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to Yahweh your Elohim. Also the earth and all that is in it. Yahweh delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Now realize, he's not only speaking to the Hebrews, he's speaking still to the mixed multitude. Ten 16. What's the command? Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. That's an important phrase there. We're going to get to it in a minute. So we don't just have one type of circumcision. There's an outward circumcision and there's an inward circumcision. The question I want in your mind right now is which should happen first? The inward one or the outward one? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, when all of these come upon you, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before you, And you shall call them to mind among all the nations, the Goyim, where Yahweh Elohim drives you. And you return to Yahweh Elohim and obey his voice according to all that I've commanded you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. So what he's saying is you're going to repent and give him all of your heart and all of your soul. 33 and 4. The Yahweh Elohim will bring you back from captivity and will have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the nations where Yahweh your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there Yahweh Elohim will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Now, remember, the promise to Abram was, you know, your children become slaves, and I will bring them back from that nation. This could be a story to all of Abraham's children. We were all going to be in a place where we are slaves, and Yahweh is going to save us from that place. And he's not only going to save us from that place, he's going to lead us home. One day, one teaching at a time. Just like he did with our father Abraham. Verse 5 and 6. Then Yahweh Elohim will bring you to the land where your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And Yahweh Elohim will what? Circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. Why? To love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Realize that the circumcising of the heart causes us to what? Love Yahweh. That means we can't completely love him with our whole heart and soul until our heart has been cut. Opened. Now again, I want to get into a little bit of this. Realize that this is your scriptural heart, not this. So we say phrases today like, let's be open-minded. You are literally saying, let's be open-hearted. And to be open-hearted means you don't go into a situation going, I already know the answer. You're literally going in to listen, and you may change your mind. That's what it means. How is our heart circumcised? Listen to this. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. Stiff-necked, and I've said this in the past, basically means you have a very focused agenda and goal. And you are only going to go to that goal. I will not look to the right, nor would I look to the left. I am going to focus only on it, and I am not going to deviate no matter what happens. This can be good, and this can be bad. Yahweh chose these people because he knew when he gave them the Torah, while they would depart, their departure would not be too far from it. They would keep the Torah around. But he also knows it takes a lot more to get them to change. But when they do change, they change completely. But the opposite here is that to be stiff-necked and say, you know what, my way is the way. Well, guess what? That's the opposite of having your heart circumcised. So to circumcise your heart means you have to put yourself aside. To be willing to change. To be gold in the maker's hands. And if you know gold, you know that gold does not always need to be hammered. It is literally malleable, changeable in your hands. 2 Chronicles 34:27 says, because your heart was what? Tender. And you humbled yourself before Elohim. When you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and you wept before me, I also have heard you, says Yahweh. Because your heart is soft tender, willing to be changed, and you have humbled yourself. Remember, this all started with Abram is no longer the exalted father. Do you see the change? Pride, exalted father, to now then the father of many nations, which means the father of many nations is going, man, do I have diapers to change. Oh. And there are spiritual diapers. Every one of us have our diapers changed by Abram. Because you know what? We're all learning from him, and he's changing us by seeing ourselves in his story. See, exalted father is the father going around going, I'm the father. Everybody else takes care of my kids. Father of many nations is one who gets down on the ground and says, you know what? I'm going to clean up their messes. I'm going to be there when they're wailing at night and aren't sleeping. That's a huge change. Joel chapter 2, 12 to 14. Remember I said, how do we circumcise our heart? Now therefore, says Yahweh, turn. Sorry. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend, rip your heart and not your garments. Return to Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Circumcision of the heart is part of the process of repentance. And if you're going to change your life, usually that means that Yahweh is going to reveal to you that some of your ways are not his. The question will be whether you open your heart to him or you say, no, I kind of like the way I got it. Rend your heart and not your garments. Acts 2:36 and 37. After all this, I'm going to have us read the exact same passage, and maybe you'll see something new. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, surely Elohim has made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when they heard this, they were what? Cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do you mean they're cut to the heart? They felt it. They were convicted. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent and let every one of you go through the mikveh in the name of the anointed salvation. His, Yahweh's anointed salvation for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as Yahweh Elohim will call. Promise goes back to a promise given to Abraham and to his descendants and the generations. That Yahweh would be their what? Elohim. Circumcision of the heart equals repenting, changing our ways. It's leaving behind our past. It's being willing to change everything and listen to Yahweh's voice and follow him. The covenant equals we're done with being our own exalted father, and it's the birth of us as the father of many nations. Do you realize each of you are being called to be Abraham? Not only are you following in his footsteps, there will be others that will follow in your footsteps because you took them. For some of us, we are the Abraham for our literal line. In my family, I am the Abraham going back to Torah. there are probably many of you that are the same. It's not an easy trip. It's not easy. When did Abram circumcise his heart? I think it was Genesis 12:1. Now Yahweh had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. He's saying, get out and follow me. I'm leading you somewhere else. Realize everything we've talked about today with circumcision is get out, salvation, I'm going to bring you somewhere else. Get out, salvation, I'm going to bring you somewhere else. Circumcision on the eighth day means you're leaving behind the first seven and you're starting all over again. Notice that Yahweh is going to show us that land. Let's go back to Acts for a moment. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago Elohim chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word and the gospel and believe, just like Abram. So Elohim, who what? Knows the heart, acknowledged them and giving them the Ruach, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Did he not do the same thing for Abram? Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Who was leading him from Haran into the land and from place to place? It was the prodding of the Ruach. And why do we have to purify our hearts? Because our hearts are deceitful above all things. We have to separate from that. Listen to this verse. You already read it. And after they had become silent, James answered, said, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared now, Elohim at first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. He's just recycling through. We're here arguing over whether they should be circumcised. Don't you realize they already have been? And don't you know that we already have Abraham as an example? So, must we be circumcised to be saved? My answer is going to be a huge yes and a very quiet no. If we don't circumcise our heart, if we don't repent of our ways and who we are, I promise you there's no salvation. He speaks of the Pharisees, Yeshua. First of all, the Pharisees and John come down to the water. The water where you're supposed to repent. Right? And they have the gall at this point to call themselves the sons of Abraham. Yeshua speaks of them later that they are whitewashed on the outside, but their inside are dead bones. John himself says, who warned you, you brood of vipers? He's saying you are children of Satan. Now, gotta be careful. Does that mean he's going after the Jewish people or the Pharisees? No, he's going after this group. This group who is circumcised on the outside, but is not on the inside. And the difference is, to be circumcised on the inside means through the Spirit, you still hear his still, quiet voice as he leads you. As he prods you. Key connections. Coming close to the end. Circumcision after the eighth day must be circumcised to celebrate Passover. Here's the reality. You can't celebrate a day about the salvation of an entire nation if you haven't felt it yourself. And I'm talking right now about the heart. If you haven't felt it, if your heart has not been opened, this is not the feast for you. How can you celebrate something you've never been through? You know what? Oh, but Rabbi, I've never been in Egypt. Okay? I know Egypt. I may not know the physical place, but I know what it feels like to be in bondage to sin. And I remember the day that I was freed from that. And I will always remember that day. And when the walk becomes long and tedious, and I don't know why I'm on it still, I ask Him to refresh me for that day. And if that means me ripping open my heart again, I'm willing to do so. I don't know that we rend our heart one time. I almost think it's a seasonal thing. Circumcision of heart, repenting, listening, and believing. And guys, it goes back. Yeshua makes a point. Yahweh's sons hear His voice, and thus they could hear Yeshua's words and follow Him. But they hear the words because they have the Ruach in them. And that Ruach needs your heart to live in, to be with you. Circumcision is being willing to humble oneself and become a servant and Shema. Circumcision of heart leads to Yahweh leading us home. And He will lead us home. That's not an if or a maybe. He will lead us home. I just want to go through to end a few verses from Romans. Because I want you to see that all of Scripture is in agreement in this. This is Paul speaking, or Shaul. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law or the teachings. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become what? Uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Will it not be? And it really goes down to, are we sons of God only on the outside, or are we sons of God, or children, we're back, on the inside? Deuteronomy 27:28. And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, even with your written code and circumcision, our transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision that is the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from Elohim. Everything we've been talking about. Quick, one more connections in a few last few verses. Circumcision equals led by the Ruach. Period. Circumcision of the heart equals adoption into the family of Yahweh. You're like, Rabbi, that's kind of a stretch. Romans 8:13-14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Or if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are the sons of Elohim. 15:16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, Abraham is the father of many nations because, you know what? He had to leave his father to follow the Father. To come under someone else's authority. And when we circumcise our heart, we're doing the same, and we are crying out, Abba. To Elohim, to Yahweh. Children of Abraham, sons of Elohim. My purpose today, well, it was a lot of things, but my purpose was to start out to clarify all of these verses in regard to circumcision. I fully expect, and we'll get to this when we get to the fruit of the tree, that given time, if we're following the Torah, we're going to come upon that command that says, and you and all your sons shall be circumcised. But you know what? He didn't have Abram do that. Oh, before you leave your land, I need you to do this. Not until Abram had changed enough inside to be ready to make the physical change on the outside. But the inside had to be fixed first. Had to happen. We'll get to it more when we get to those fruit trees. Because I believe it's truly that reality of how our heart is changing. And I promise you, there's so much in there from Him writing His Word in our heart through His Spirit, to being led by the Spirit, to the circumcision of the heart, to those fruit, to the fruits of the Spirit, to the vine, to the parable of the grounds. Four different grounds. Do you realize the path the seed falls on is not cut open? Do you realize the younger prodigal son has a circumcised heart, but the older one does not? He's just doing a bunch of things, but he's doing them for the right purposes. Has to start from the inside. And only Yahweh can make that change. But you know what? That change means we are a son or a daughter of the one who spoke a word, and everything you sit on, stand on, drove on, got here, because it exists, He spoke, and you are His child. That is the great inheritance. And in that we're blessed. Baruch Hashem. All right, the blessing that Yahweh has given that would be said to the people would know that He wants to give Him His authority, His name, that we would be His now and forever. Again, I think sometimes we think it's like, oh, I'm a child of Yahweh, and maybe we take that for granted. But to realize we are a child of Him, Yahweh, He who was, He who is, and He who is forever, blessed is He. Yevarech Yahweh v'yishmerech. Ke Yahweh temedege etipateha. May Yahweh, may He bless you and keep you. Yar Yahweh panavecha vihunecha. Ke Yahweh agasu roshtos penester sobriti ite kanseya supaz. May Yahweh's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisi Yahweh, panavidecha, yesem lecha shalom. Ki Yahweh muestre su rostro sobre te ite, conceda su paz, or torge su mandad. May Yahweh's face, when it turns toward you, may He give you peace. Shabbat shalom.